Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast, a show where we discuss tips, tricks and tools to help all Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we're not streamers or YouTubers, we just have a passion for Destiny and are dedicated to keeping Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 news, information and opinions. We encourage your questions and feedback, and you can contact us either by email, twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com, or on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Now, on with the show. So, welcome to the podcast that is dedicated to Destiny. I am your host, Night Demon, and this week I am joined by the irreplaceable Parody and the irritational Respawn.
Irreplaceable, and they've tried, and he's still annoying, yet he keeps coming back, even though we try to get rid of him.
No, you're the irreplaceable one, dude. I'm the irritatable one.
Yeah, we said that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, at first, when you said the irreplaceable, I was going to have issue with it, and then you called me the irritatable. I'm like, no, that about sums it up. Yeah.
I retract my statement. On point, don't you worry.
Right. So I'm interested to hear your Respawn rants this week.
It's actually not a bad one. I was just going to say a few positive things about the Lord of Wolves.
No, wait. Positive things?
I don't understand.
Are we sure you sound like Respawn? I'm going to need like proof of life or something here. I don't know what to do with myself anymore.
Well,
I suppose Respawn rants doesn't have to be bad. It can be just he rants about
it's just
something.
A rant. Yeah.
This is true. You can rant about the good things. Mm-hmm. This is amazing, and I'm very angry about it.
Unless you guys ran across something that I didn't see or hear about, you know, bring it to my attention, then I'll spend about 2 minutes, you know, researching it.
We could let you talk about Spectral Blade again.
I don't know. I've barely touched my Xbox in the last couple of days, so I'm going to assume that the game is largely where I left it. We're getting a bunch of infamy starting tomorrow, so that's cool. Everybody who needs their 21% delirium can take advantage of that goodness.
Yeah, I haven't played much of Gambit since the start of this season at all. It's a shame because I like a lot of the guns. I like Gambit a lot, but I don't have the motivation, man.
Yeah, and with all the smaller events, like there's too much going on. Like even days where I've played 6 or 7 hours in a day, it's like, okay, I've done a bunch of revelry stuff, and it's like, okay, I've done my three strikes, I've done a Nightfall or two. Oh, you know, I haven't touched a forge in like 3 weeks. It's just, you know, it's like there's too much to do, but also like the replay path is a little long. Like if I could just jump into a forge and grab a weapon and grind it out and be done with it, I do that. But I have to grab the bounties, do the bounties, get the thing to buy the forge weapon, get the forge weapon, you know, do that. Which again isn't a long grind, but it's annoying enough to have to go do a particular thing. Or like on my other two characters, even though all the weapons are unlocked for you, you can't get to them if you haven't unlocked the other forges. So it's like, here are these. Oh, but you haven't unlocked this forge or that forge. You can't actually do that.
Yeah.
Which I'll get around to at some point. But again, it's like, I've done this once. Why do I want to grind this out again on two other characters?
Right. The forges should absolutely be account-wide, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if it were...
It's probably something they're working on.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's one thing if it were like a hard grind, like it's not that the grind's too hard. It's just, I don't want to do it. It's long. It's long and arduous. It's like, go on this quest, but we already got the quest. We saved the damsel. We burned down the castle. Things are good. Yeah, well, now there's two more damsels and two more castles. She had two sisters, so go do this again. It's like, why? why would I do that again?
Who's had enough coffee to run us through this week at Bungie 3 or 4 notes that we've made?
Yeah, the 12th this week was basically, we're tired. We gave you a bunch of events. You know what? We're tired now. The revelry is about over. We'll have more for you later. We're tired.
We've all been on holiday for the last couple of weeks. Some of us have taken bonuses, and the rest of us that are left here are just going to tie this up.
Holidays?
April, apparently, that's why they're all just leaving.
Yeah.
Because around bonus time, they take their bonus, and then they leave. Yeah. I'm thinking,
Bungie April holiday.
Why would you do that?
You're unaware of Bungie April holiday?
No, I'm actually not, no.
Well, clearly all the leads of Bungie are, so, I mean, they're very aware of it. They're like, peace out, see ya, been fun.
It does make me laugh. As soon as somebody says, we're leaving on Twitter, and they're part of Bungie, it's like, oh my god, breaking news. Like,
the sky is falling, everything is terrible, we've lost like 500 of 700 people, the end is near.
Oh, so that's why everybody was freaking out, because when they said we're leaving, they were just going on like holiday, but everybody thought they were leaving the company?
No.
They're leaving the company.
But it's like five, what is it, four or five leads at this point out of however many hundreds of people that work at Bungie?
Yeah, I think there's been about six people that have officially announced that they've left, and quite a few of them are higher ups and people that we've seen on the Vidocs and things. And, you know, people are making YouTube videos on it just to freak other people out, going, you know, what does this mean for Bungie going forward? And
it
means nothing.
It means the person that worked under them is going to get promoted.
When
Bungie's
stock goes down and you see that they're posting that they're closing up shop, that's when you need to worry.
Right. Yeah. So I just did a quick Google. You know, in 2016, they had about 750 people. So, guys, we're down to like 744 people left working on Bungie games. That's only 744. It's not 750. We need 750 or more, but 744, not acceptable. Way too low.
Does that include all the other people that were working with them, though, or is that strictly Bungie employees? Does it matter?
It's strictly Bungie.
Yeah, it's Wikipedia, so I'm guessing it's strictly Bungie. They pulled a number from somewhere. Yeah, right. So, I mean, you know, Vicarious Visions is its own thing, and the other company whose name now escapes me. Yeah, I mean, they're their own company, so I assume.
Hi, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, so they're not in that count.
Okay, I honestly didn't know they had that many. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but
I think there's more than that.
40 or 50 popping into my brain.
Oh yeah,
no, I think they're into the thousands that have been employed now. And with the money that they got from that Chinese company, they've decided they're going to develop another game. And they've been hiring loads of people. I mean, there was a BSK change guy that was hired to help with the PvP side. So they're still hiring people. Just, you know, other people are coming into the company. And fresh eyes, fresh look at things, you know, fresh perspective, even from like the community's perspective, are influencing the game going forward. And that's a good thing, isn't it? You know, you don't want the same people that we've been moaning about, not us personally, but the community members have been saying, this isn't working. And obviously the people that wanted those things have parted ways with the company, and we're getting fresh people in. It's going to be something different going forward, or from the community's perspective, you know, it sounds like it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like any other job. Like, you know, you've worked at a place for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, however many years. Yeah. You work somewhere. I mean, I think the longest place I've ever stayed at a job is like 3.5 years. I mean, just thinking like working on the same game, the same IP, the same stuff day in and day out, it's like you're gonna get bored of it. It's time.
Yeah, I see your logic. You
know, for 10 years.
It's time to move on. Even if you're just like, okay, we've done Destiny, we've done Destiny 2, we're going to scrap everything and start Destiny 3 fresh like we have the last two games. I don't want to be here for that. It's time to go.
Or with the split from Activision, they've all got a big payout from their bonuses, and that's enough to, you know, part ways at that point.
Totally, yeah. And who knows what that looked like, because here's a big pot of money. You know, hey, this is done. Especially if, because I know there was some sort of, not, you know, lawsuit or whatever, there was some sort of legal wrangling about them cutting the contract early. So if Activision dumped the contract, they may be like, oh, hey, here's all the extra money we owed you for this contract, or again, whatever. Yeah, here's a big chunk of change. Hey, guys, you know, either written into your contracts, or hey, here's a big windfall. Let's let our employees have it. Take your big chunk of change and say, hey, I'm taking a 6-month vacation and not doing anything for a while. You know, now's a good time as any.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? The Destiny community want to know every single detail about everybody's lives at Bungie, and every intricate detail about what's going on. And we're not privy to that, and we shouldn't be knowing things like that. But when somebody says that they're leaving, you know, all hell breaks loose, because they're like, oh my God. But it's really not a thing. It's just people coming and going in, you know, a job. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Just because you know their name and they're high up, you know, it's you know.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
We're in the know.
We are in the know. You know.
Should we start the show properly now?
I mean, I've just been kind of having fun with this. I mean,
the TWAB patch note preview. Wait, we're previewing. There's nothing here to preview. Come on now.
Oh.
It's time for the next update to the live game. The great thing about the multi-track recorder is I can talk over you and he can just mute you entirely.
Indeed.
Son of a...
Thanks,
Don't
Craig.
You say I did.
This week at Bungie, for the 2nd of May in the year of our Bungie 2019, we have another update. It's not much of an update, but it's 2.2.2. That's it. No ones. We're on to all twos now. This week, we're going to include changes to Spectral Blades, which Respawn yelled about a couple weeks ago, as well as a few other items. Here's a preview of what you can expect. We fixed an issue where the Dreaming City lore was not being awarded when completing an Ascendant challenge. We fixed an issue where Chaos Reach would not deal damage to enemies affected by other status effects such as the Thorn Soul Devourer or Hunter Tethers. Fixed an issue where Warlocks were unable to blink after going through a portal. Fixed an issue which Combination Blow was unintentionally magnifying damage of Arc Staff Super Attacks. Fixed an issue where the Iron Ruby Shader was not dropping. Still is not dropping. The Shader now has a chance to drop when dismantling Iron Banner gear, and there is one more Iron Banner in the season, so if you've been looking for that Shader, hopefully we'll see some at that point. Or I guess if you have gear now and you dismantle it, hopefully it'll give you some Shaders or has a chance to. Update 2.2.2, again, all the twos, is also going to fix the Invitation of the Nine last week where we were trying to hunt the Vex where the Vex did not live. So you have the Tower Pursuit sitting in your inventory from Xur and you've done the rest of it. They've put out a fix. I assume it's going to either remove the Vex thing or do something to it. We'll see what it is. The Verdant Light, the update to 2.2.2 also changes the Verdant Light competitive triumph. So instead of needing 200 orbs, you now just needed 20 orbs. And it will retroactively grant that triumph to the players who have at least 20 orbs. It will also complete the Party Harder triumph for players who met all the other requirements during the revelry, awarding the Virescent Emblem. The Jubilant Engrams, in the week following the update, players who were erroneously awarded duplicate items from the revelry's Jubilant Engram will receive an in-game message informing them how the issue will be resolved for their account. In the week following the 2.2.2 update, players who erroneously received the incorrect Arc emote during their Eververse purchase from Arc Week, that was a huge disappointment, will receive an in-game message informing them how the issue will be resolved in their account as well. So if you're waiting on some of these things, look for messages in your account from Bungie. It will give you other information on how you can get your emotes or your engrams sorted out. And for a full list of things, go to the updates page and check out all the 2.2.2 updates. And in addition, the Arbalest will no longer be eligible for purchase from Eva Levante and will only be rewarded as a reward drop from other loot sources. And I also saw if you have an annual pass, you can get the Arbalest back from the collections. If you don't, you have to wait for a fix. So if you've got the Arbalest and you deleted it and you want to get it back and you haven't bought the annual pass, you're going to have to wait on a fix for that. It's not currently available. And there is also one more issue where while the Arbalest was intended to be available to all players following the conclusion of the revelry, there's an issue where, again, people who don't own the pass can't receive it as a drop, is unavailable to them yet. Again, they're aware of it. They're working on a fix. It'll be out in a future update. And now that we've gone over the entire TWAB for the week in record time, we have Respawn Rants. And he's going to rant about something. Might be good, might be bad, might be kittens. Who knows? Respawn, what do you got for us?
Hit that intro.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding.
What? What are we talking about? What? Why are we dinging? What? Oh my god! Ah!
What? The intro music's hit, and we're just waiting for you to speak now.
Alright, so here's the thing, guys. Not really an angry rant this week. He did mention the spectral blades, but since I went on probably what some would consider a ridiculous rant last time, I'm not going to cover it again, because now it's here. Now I'm going to test it out to find out exactly how.
Just a reminder to you, Respawn, if you do rant and it goes on for too long, music will cut in and you will be faded out.
Yes, Mom. Anyway.
If you mess up any of your sentences, that will be left in for comic amusement.
Okay, so I guess I got to focus right now.
Focus.
But yeah, so I got to go test the new changes to find out how much they really did interfere with the Spectral Blades. I did play quite a bit of Spectral Blades lately. That way I can get a good feel of it and see how good and or bad they currently are and to see how good and or bad they will be after the update has hit, right? So we'll test that out before I get to any severe rants, because who knows, maybe it feels a little better. Maybe you don't really notice it. Whatever. But the thing I wanted to talk about today, actually, is, and I had a lot of fun with, probably isn't that big of a secret, but the exotic shotgun, oh my god, it was like the wolf,
Lord of Wolves.
Thank you. Yes, the Lord of Wolves. I had a ton of fun with that gun, right? Granted, you run out of ammo ridiculously fast, but it is really, really powerful. So I was playing with a group. I was a hunter, and we had two warlocks, and they both had Lunafaction boots and the rift, right? The super rift. And so we're running around. I got full ammo in the shotgun, and they dropped down that rift. Oh my god, in the raid? Not the raid. Ha! Sorry. In the strikes, I was deleting bosses with the Lord of Wolves before I ran out of ammo. It just does so much damage, and it fires so fast. Like, I mean, we're talking machine gun rate of fires with this gun, and you just hold the trigger down. It's absolutely bananas. So, Lord of Wolves is a shotgun that you probably shouldn't sleep on. Yes, it does use a lot of ammo. Yes, you have to be fairly close. But the damage it puts out is it worth it? I don't know. I'll leave that up to you to decide. I don't think it's quite worth it, but I do think if you're bored and you're looking for something new to use to just kind of keep the game fresh, definitely, definitely use the Lord of Wolves. And for all you warlocks out there, use it with a rift and some Luna boots. For the hunters, make sure you got the reload dodge on. Oh my goodness. It is so much fun. But yeah, as far as the rank goes, this week, not really a whole lot going on. You know, not in Destiny anyway. Anyways, anyways, do we add an S? Do we add a Z? Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, that's going to be about it for this week. I know it's not really an in-depth rant. There's not a whole lot of emotion involved, but, you know, sometimes things go on in real life that just kind of distract you. And that's going to be it for me for the time being for the rants. Hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, don't really care. Not going anywhere. So sit back and enjoy my beautiful, captivating voices. And that's it.
And if you're looking for the Lord of Wolves, you can pick one of those up by running Spider's Wanted Bounties. It's a random drop from those. So run those to get the pretty gun to drop, and then use your machine gun shotgun. It's good times.
Or if you've got every other exotic from the world, then you can go to Xur, and he will give it to you from his fated engram. That's how he rolls these days. He cheats the spider.
Yeah. So if you don't have it yet, you have a really good chance of getting it from Xur.
So what was the point of your rant? I don't understand. You were just ranting that it's a good gun.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I didn't go too positive or too negative about it, because the negatives is it does run out of ammo really fast. That is a huge, huge downside. But with the damage that it pumps out, it's got to run out of ammo fast. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it would just be too good. So I get that. But, I mean, if you can get close to a boss and you can just, like, put down a rift or just keep reloading, the gun's amazing. It's 100% amazing. It's like it beats out Legend of Acrius. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of the problem of taking it in the Crucible, because you take in the Crucible and you fire once, and then that auto-fire kicks in, and then you're out of ammo all of a sudden. Like, but I just touched.
No, you get two of them. You get two bursts in the Crucible, 2 5-round bursts.
I did watch a video earlier by True Vanguard where he goes over how to win 1v1s, and he'd done games against top, you know, legendary players, and one of the guys had Antaeus Wards and Lord of Wolves, and he would slide into, like, the area where True Vanguard was sniping. The sniper gun, you know, his snipe would miss or be ricocheted off the Antaeus Wards. He'd then be close enough to then just Lord of Wolves the guy to death. And True Vanguard was saying that he was having to keep a distance and keep out of the way of this guy, take a few pot shots, and then approach him at an elevated angle further away. But he had, I think it was... he had the last word, hand cannon, so he would be jumping up and above to the side of the guy so that he wouldn't be able to slide and deflect any bullets. He'd have to kind of play differently, and that's how he won those engagements. But he said it was a very strong weapon for this guy to be using. And a couple of players do use it in comp at the higher levels.
Shocking apes at their finest, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Goodness gracious. But no, it's a good gun in PvE. I didn't use it in PvE because, you know, I like winning. But, I mean, yeah, I'm sure if you know how to use them, it's just fine for you, I guess.
I think that's the same with every gun, isn't it? Once you practice, and you'll get used to that gun and the way that you play and how it handles. And you can become, you know, a master at it. It just depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You find a gun, you settle down, you get into a committed relationship with that gun, and the guy don't treat you real well.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Not even a little bit. Don't lie to these kids, man. Come on. Some people depend on us, and you're just filling their heads full of gaga juice, man. What's wrong?
Hey, my bygones and I are in a very committed relationship. We have flings on the side, but that relationship stays strong and pat and works in everything.
Is that right?
I love that gun. I know how it feels. I know how it works. I try to pick up other pulse rifles. It doesn't feel the same. But and there's something, and I know I don't remember if we mentioned on the show before or just while we were playing. There definitely feels like there's some difference in how like each character handles different guns. Like some guns just, I feel like, I don't know, they feel better in like the hands of my Warlock versus my Titan. And I'm probably just crazy because there's probably no difference at all in how these actually function. But like the Vigilance Wing feels like it needs to be in the hands of my Warlock. I try to use it on the Titan or the Hunter. Doesn't feel the same. Don't know why. Same gun, same exact weapon because I transfer them over. Just feels better in the Warlock's hands. Don't know.
Well, did you ever look at your subclass? Because I know for Hunters, there's stuff in our subclass that helps us with hand cannon handling and whatnot like that. So hand cannon feels better in a Hunter's hands than, let's say, somebody else, I think, right? So, yeah, maybe Warlocks are good with pulse rifles and scouts, and we see all the submachine gun perks that Titans get, right? So maybe submachine guns and shotguns are great on Titans and auto rifles, right? So
everyone loves a good
auto rifle. You could be onto something.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, because I definitely use it on enough different things that I never really considered the subclasses or what perks I had on, but yeah, I could have something with the pulse rifles that just felt better with that particular gun. I don't know. Or maybe, yeah, I don't know. It might just be my own craziness. Could be just as well.
Probably.
Got a 50-50 shot.
50-50? Is that all? I think it's a little higher than that. Come on.
98-2, you know, one or the other.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds a lot more like it. Anyway, so what's next on the little agenda we got going on here, gentlemen?
Before we get onto that, Parody, has Pan shared the video or photo with you?
The one true photo? Let's see. Is this? I did just get a text from him a minute ago. Hold on. Let's see.
He sent me a photo from somebody that's just joined the clan, Nolisman.
It's Nolis Daman, NOLLISDAMAN. So I'm going with Nolis Daman. Hey, Panoramics. I heard you on the Two Titans and a Hunter podcast myself, and Queen Anne's Revenge and Brizzle 22. So they like Pan. They don't care about the rest of us, but they're big fans of Pan. Now,
your plan has worked to make
what I need to know is, did they dance in front of him with the Sunrise Warrior shader on? That's the information we need to know.
Basically, they want to join the clan. So your mission is half complete. We've nearly had to make him work a little bit for his job.
Yes, but did they follow through on the full challenge? I need to know if they danced in front of him with the Sunrise Warrior, which he still has not gotten. As of today, still has not gotten that shader yet. I need to know if the people are listening. I need to know exactly how much power I can wield here. You know, with great power comes great madness.
Well, now they've joined the clan, they know how to find him and join on him. So if he's at the tower, they can join on him, then do the dance.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, if they didn't do the dance to begin with, then it's not as fun, I think, right? The whole point was to torment him.
No, this is tormenting him. He's actually had to accept these people into the clan and actually do stuff.
What do you mean he's actually had to accept them? He didn't have to accept them.
He does, because normally he farms out the admin roles to everybody else, but he's actually accepted them in. So he's actually done some work.
Because it's night shift. It's his time to man the clan button.
Yeah.
When you see names, you hit accept. That's how we roll here. We have a very, again, very strict requirements to join the Frozen Clan.
rigorous vetting policies.
Absolutely.
No, we've been over this. There's no
we find the cream of the crop who have the proper dances, the proper style, or just send proper us shaders. An invitation. Yeah, exactly. Or proper shaders, or just send us an invitation. Because again, very rigorous process. We go through people quickly around here.
So our main topic of the week is the Reverie, and we're going to summarize and give our thoughts on it. Who wants to go first?
Revelry. Gee, what's to say? Let me think. Hold on. I can think of a good thing. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. All right. Hold on. There was a weapon, right? Right?
That you loved. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good weapon. Very good weapon, right? So that 3-week event, yeah. Good for that one weapon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But no, on the serious side, I really do love that gun. That is, I don't think we needed a 3-week event just for that gun. But
I think you've got the wrong end of the stick there. It wasn't a 3-week event just for that gun. It was a 3-week event to have fun and get more Guardians to come and play. And have a different way of playing the game.
Tomato, potato, right? I mean, you. For me, it was 3 weeks to get that gun. That's what it was. Because I didn't really find anything else interesting about it. You know, the armor, had I paid attention, is probably the better word.
To the podcast, maybe.
Shut up.
There was some sort of podcast that people talked about what was going on in the game that you could listen to.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should probably start one of those, right? We could hold the market on that thing. Just saying. But no, because I didn't pay attention, right? There's a lot going on in my life because a lot of things that these people that you guys are listening don't know is there's a lot that goes on in my life. I have a lot to do as far as like...
This is where the music fades in.
I'm joking. But yeah, so I mean, I don't have a lot of time to get on the game. I used to be a hardcore Destiny player, like all the time, you know. And then I met the Frozen Clan, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Like these guys are pretty cool. And they're pretty chill. Because before you guys, like every clan that I was with, they were hardcore, right? That's why. I'm as good as I am in PvP. That's why I do the raids. That's why I do all these things because
fighting.
So why do you continue to put up with us? That's the real question. That's really the intro and the outro interviews we need on Joins and Leaves a Clan. Why us? Why have you continued to tolerate us? That's what confounds me.
See, that, my friend, is a good question because to me that's like a double-edged sword. Right, I don't put up with you guys. You are people that have a similar personality type as I do, and I know people that are listening. Like, what? I've heard Respawn. That's not true. It is true. They're just more in the closet about it. But when we play together, it comes out. Like the other day, remember when Night Demon was going off on those kids, cursing at people and everything like that? Nobody stop
him. Lies, all lies.
I think Night Demon just hit the master mute button.
No, it didn't. I think he's just kind of disappeared.
I think Night Demon brought down the thunder and the hammer of Mute over there, and Respawn just faded away to nothingness.
Yeah, he's definitely gone.
Well, thanks for joining our show this week. So I had a good time with the Revelry, or as we like to call it, you know, ruining competitive and ruining the Crucible for people. The number of nightfalls I laughed my head off running through, just throwing grenades, was amazing. I grabbed my Kepri's Horn, you know, dusted all the dust off it, put it on, and said, "Let's just throw walls at things. Let's run to a Crucible match, just throw walls the entire time." Didn't do very well, but I had a lot of fun doing it. I it brought back all the things that, like the Bungie Action Sack game and like playlist in Halo would give you, and it just, you know, turned the game on its head. And I appreciate them taking what was a really big gamble of saying, we're going to take our entire game, our entire sandbox, and we're going to flip it upside down for 3 weeks. And you may love it, you may hate it, you may love and hate parts of it, but there's a lot of fun stuff came out of it. A lot of really funny videos, a lot of good content. People, you know, running Nightfalls just with the Kepri's Horn and just with walls. People doing, like, you know, grenade only kills on bosses and raids. I appreciate just, you know, finding new ways to play the game and having fun with it, going, hey, here's the new set of constraints. I mean, you want to talk about flipping the meta on its head, there's the meta on your head. You know, people running around just dodging the entire time in Crucible matches, or throwing knives nonstop, or just, again, you know, just the raining grenades down upon everybody. I think it was fun. And I appreciate that it felt long enough that you could really enjoy it, because I haven't played much in the last week, but the first 2 weeks I really got a lot of time in and really got to enjoy the content. I still wish I did finally get a pair of wings. I never did get my horns, but I finally got a pair of wings for the helmet. I wish I could use it after this event ended. But, you know, it wasn't so much about the gear for me. I got the Arbalest and I got, you know, the full armor set and all that, but I just had fun with just the huge change to the game. And I like that there was an Iron Banner during it. I like that, you know, the normal things that happen in the course of a game were able to happen during this event.
That was so kooky.
Yeah, so I had a blast with it. You know, again, I jumped into trials. Ha ha, top secret. jumped into competitive with 19 for a couple of rounds, and I played, I think I did everything but a Forge that week. You know, and then the raids, obviously. But, you know, I did almost every other piece of content and just had a lot of fun with it. Jumped into the Reckoning and just threw grenades just the entire time. I'm like, I have a gun, not going to touch it. Again, ran a whole bunch of Nightfalls just throwing grenades. I put the Hell of Fire Heart on, and I threw grenades and throwing hammers at people the entire time. There's no real need to have the Hell of Fire Heart, nor is there a reason to run the top tree Striker Titan, because I couldn't ever throw the second grenade fast enough because my grenades kept coming back so quickly. That second grenade always stayed in my inventory slot. Like, I put on the... I played with the Hunter a little bit. I got the Charge of Galenor to drop, finally. And again, I put whatever the pieces that gives you the second skip grenade, put that on again. Couldn't throw grenades fast enough to get the second skip grenade to even proc. It was just there the whole time. Like, here's one in my hand, and here's one in the other hand. I'm not going to throw it at you. I'm just going to show it to you, just so you know it's here. I think I think it was a huge gamble, and I think it was fun. I know a lot of people were, you know, again, if you're on that grind for the weapons that have now been nerfed that we shall never speak of again. Yeah, I gotta say, you know, I'm sure it's super annoying. Again, walking into a game mode, you think you know and understand, and going, oh, the grenades are here. The grenades are all coming down. They're raining from heaven. And just, you think you know what to expect, and there's just no way to know what to expect anymore because it's all madness. But I think, again, it was a lot of fun. You know, there's a set end date. If this wasn't for you, you could say, okay, I'm going to walk away from Destiny for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, come back when the event's over, and it's basically the game that I left. You know, or you can have fun and say, let's run around and have some madness.
They need to have a dedicated game mode that is just that. Like, all the time, forever. They need to have one for PvP and one for PvE. Oh, stand by. No, check it out. You know how you have the oh gosh, what is it? The elemental perks and everything like that in strikes and whatnot? You know what I'm talking about? What if 1 week you had solar, 1 week you had fire, 1 week you had void, and then the fourth week out of every month is just insanity? Like, the revelry comes back the first or the last week of every month, right?
I would be into that. Doing a cycle like the Dreaming City, where, you know, there's a different curse or you know, a madness falls on the city once a month. I'd be totally into that. You know, even if it's, you know, maybe it's just like visual, you know, the gameplay stays the same, but you get the visual changes, so you know it's closer. Oh, Tuesday morning, afternoon, whatever hits, boom, now we're in madness for the next week. That would be a lot of fun.
Morning, afternoon, whatever, something.
Time zones, how do they work?
So where did you get to in what you were saying about the Reverie respawn?
What did I leave off before I was so rudely interrupted?
Just start over, because I don't remember either.
We were just teasing you about stuff.
Yeah, because I had said it was like 3 weeks for the one gun, and then you're all like, these other things. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was the one gun, right? That's the only reason that I was playing. I didn't care about the armor, you know, mostly, again, because I wasn't paying attention, right? I didn't know what the armor could do. So the armor was cool. I'll give it that. The Arbalest is definitely 100% by far my favorite part of the revelry. All the other stuff is fun, but the Arbalest is, in my opinion, meta-changing. That's just me, and I'm obviously an Arbalest fanboy at this point. If everybody's paying attention. But yeah, so all the stuff Parody was talking about, it's all good fun.
I was going to say, going back to what you were saying about the Arbalest, I think a lot of YouTubers and a lot of other players had that kind of mindset that the Revelry was just set up for that one gun. So they went in, did what they needed to do, get that gun and left the game. That was it. They didn't want to play anymore. And I don't think they appreciated the game mode, like Parody was saying. You know, it was... You know, to start off with, it was, oh my God, look at what they've done to this game. They've broken the game. They've broken competitive. They did actually break, you know, Gambit Prime with the guitar errors and the too many orbs the field kind of thing. But in doing that, they've obviously got a lot of data back. And where you were saying maybe do it every 3 or 4 weeks would be really interesting because we need things like that. We need Iron Banner every month. We need a Revelry or something along those lines. It's just madness for a week. Apart from in selective areas, like competitive, it should be you're able to go and do loads of different things, and it should be an event that comes up or a rotational thing. And I think that's what they need either in like PvP as well. They need something that's going to be around to get players back in every couple of weeks. You know, it doesn't have to be trials all the time every week. But it needs to be something that they need to get people involved and enjoying it. And it was enjoyable with, you know, it's in my head. I keep saying, you know.
You're welcome. Like,
don't say the word elephant. Don't say the word elephant.
This is curse week 3. I have now given my verbal tick to you. And the next week you'll give it to Respawn. And that's how this works.
No. No, that is not how this works. You better stop that juju. Don't you put that bad juju on me.
I enjoyed the event, and I found it really enjoyable to do a little bit of everything every day. There was the bounties that you could go and do X amount of kills in the forge, and you'd be able to do 50 bounties to get one of the triumphs to drop. And I enjoyed that, slowly working through and doing the different things, because those bounties made you go off and try different things. There was killing enemies in strikes and raids. So those bounties made you try what the Revelry was giving you in those different areas. And that was interesting, because even if you weren't interested in doing the raid, you could join an LFG or get together with your clan and go in and tackle one of those parts of the game that you weren't familiar with, but you'd have kind of unlimited power, as the Emperor would say, in that specific area. And
you know,
I think it made it more enjoyable. I saw a lot of videos on the raid and how people were like breezing through it a little bit easier. And I think that's the whole idea of it. It was meant to make the game more enjoyable in those areas. And yes, they did break competitive. And they did break Iron Banner, to be honest, because where they introduced that Iron Burden, I think that created a lot of problems, because if they'd had that the previous Iron Banner get that emblem,
that
would
was
have given
rough.
People 3 weeks, three total Iron Banners to get that emblem. To introduce it while this was on, I think was a misstep, because there was a lot of YouTubers and a lot of other podcasts I've listened to in the last week, and they're all asking each other, did you go for it? And they're like, no, you know, I did like one game and was like, no, this is not for me. And I think the Revelry had a negative effect on that, to be honest.
Yeah. Iron Banner was rough. I got my 507th kill mostly by using the Yotun. And then I was like, okay, I'm done. I had that brief thought of trying to go for the 2500, but I was like, no, I'm done at 507. I can't do this anymore. It's just, I grab the Yotun, I get killed. I grab the Yotun, I get killed. Like, I'm trading Yotun shots. That's the only kills I'm getting. And other than that, you just can't stay alive at all.
But you're getting them.
I'm getting them real slowly. Honestly, it felt a lot like when I first started playing Crucible in Destiny 1. Whereas, because again, I played a lot of PvE. You know, I would sort of go into PvP when I had to. Now I love PvP, love running around playing there. But it's like it felt the same way. Where it's like you might be lucky to trade. If you got 2 kills in a row, you felt like the king of the world. It's like, oh, I got 2 kills.
I'm at a Yotun shot, so I'm screwed, but I got two kills. This is amazing. But it really felt like that, like being a beginner player again, because everyone I was going up against was like, you know, 680, 690, 700. Like, very few times did I see someone or kill someone that had the Iron Burden on. I'm glad it's an experiment that they decided to not continue into next season.
Yeah, for Iron Banner anyway.
What are you talking about? They made Iron Banner great, man!
No, but with the Iron Burden and the Revelry, I mean, I got up to, I think it was 1,362 kills in this last Iron Banner, so I'm within touching distance of that Blooming Emblem, and I'm really going to go for it.
Touching next distance? Iron Banner. You're not even halfway there yet!
I'm in touching distance. I know how many hours I played and how many hours I could have played. And last week I did set aside the last day to actually, you know, really push out about 300 or 400 kills in one day. Good and Lord. Really, I know, I really went for it. And I put the podcast on the back burner to edit, which is why I had to send out the notice to say, do you want to Iron Banner? This is going to be a little bit later. Mm. That was the reason, because I really wanted to go for it. And there were stumbling blocks. But then once I figured out the way to play, and I wasn't using Yotun, I was using the Frostmire's Hex. I was using what else was I using? I was changing my weapons up every game, because in every game there was different opponents that I was coming up against that were playing differently. So I was constantly changing the weapons. So I'd very rarely have exotic primary or secondary. I'd just be using the guns that I'd like to use. Sometimes I'd use Suros. Or, actually, shout out to this one guy, this hunter. I can't remember his name. He did send me a message. But we were playing on the map where it's basically a circle where you have the circle bit in the middle where you can pick up heavy. And it's on the ship flying around.
Okay, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. And every time this hunter would whip out his sweet business, and you could hear him charging it up, and there's nothing you could do about it because he'd just run around that corner and it'd still be firing and it'd just be constant headshot. And he took me out so many times. I swapped to the sweet business and actually played him his own game. And it was phenomenal because with the grenades going out and then that spinning up when you saw the red coming towards you. And I took that into comp as well for a couple of games, and it worked out in comp as well. Because
that's not a thing I would have thought of, though, right? The sweet business with grenades. Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad at all.
It worked. For some games, it actually worked, and it was good fun. And he sent me a message saying about, you know, oh, I see you using the sweet business. And I sent him one back saying, you showed me the way, Grasshopper. It was fantastic. You know, it wouldn't be something I would have thought of to use.
Well, but yeah, I had a lot of fun using the Cerberus, man. The Cerberus.
Okay.
The Cerberus was a lot of fun. The Lord of Wolves was fun, and of course, you know, I had to pull out the Colony every now and again, right? Because Colony, right? Especially when I was on a map where I knew I would be getting heavy ammo pretty often. Swap to the Colony and just go ham, man. Just my little spider bots all over the map. Fear me. But no, it was great, man. Still love that gun. That's still my favorite gun. I'm sorry. But
I spent most of the last 3 weeks doing the same thing with between the Colony and the Prospector, because I've got the catalyst for both the Colony and the Prospector, so I've been going back and forth switching them, trying to get those done. I'm at like 80% on both of them. But yeah, the Colony, it's filthy, but it's so much fun.
I find the colony is easier to do during a mayhem week in Crucible.
Totally.
Because people very rarely pick up the heavy. So
thank you. Because you reminded me, because that's what I was going to bring up. We were talking about the Revelry, how it should come back in the whole game, you know, once a month or whatever, right? But then you have mayhem, right? Mayhem, all your supers charge faster, right? Revelry, everything else charges faster. You know what I mean?
Suppressor grenades in Revelry mayhem.
That's what I was running.
Yeah. Yeah.
I switched to doing suppressor grenades on my Titan. I found it a lot easier to kind of constantly throw out the suppressors, because I was finding, especially in Iron Banner, I was finding that because I was below power level, that they would easily one-shot me. And if I was throwing out normal grenades, that wasn't doing damage to them. So rather than doing damage, I was throwing out the suppressors and getting them suppressed so that they couldn't throw out any grenades, or they couldn't do whatever they had, you know, charged up, which would give me a little bit of an advantage to actually take them on 1v1 in gunfights. And I found that was the way to go, because in normal Iron Banner with the Iron Burden on, I found it easier to go 1v1 on people and, you know, get my shot on target and then hopefully finish them off before they can. And most of the time that works, but, you know, when you go 1v2, that's when you're in trouble. So yeah, suppressing was a lot easier for me anyway. And I think I was using the middle tree on Sentinel Titan, so it was giving that kind of damage flare out of void. So when they took extra damage, it would, you'd have that chance of making them explode. So that worked quite well.
Yep, suppressing them and strapping detonators to their chests.
Which, that was it. Yeah,
which, as I learned this week, I was running the Exodus Crash Nightfall, doing the triumph of punching the 9 shanks to death before you finish out the boss. And yeah, I ran it with Pan and Blue Screen a couple of times. And I for some reason, I always overlooked that middle tree. I think when the detonators explode, it gives you and nearby people a boost to health again. So we just ran around with that middle tree, punching things, punching the chinks, putting the detonators on. Detonators blow up. We get our health back and just continue on to the next shank. Somehow I just always overlooked that perk of that class. I don't know why. I had fun putting detonators on people. I didn't realize I was getting health boost because of it too.
Yeah. So is there anything that you think worked well? What you could improve in the revelry? I mean, I'm thinking with the reward packages that you grinded out all of that revelry essence and you have to spend 75 per gift box, basically. And in that gift box, you could get a blue and it would be a single drop of whatever it is. I think like they did with the Christmas event, where with the cookies, if you baked enough cookies, you could get X amount of stuff to drop. And I think the loot was a bit more free-flowing with that event. You'd be able to bake a lot more cookies off because there's a lot more things to do. And people, you know, were farming for enhancement cores. They were getting a lot more legendaries out of it. Whereas with this, it's 75 essence, which is quite a lot if you think about it. I was popping an essence to go into a crucible. And I know it lasts for an hour, but I'd be lucky if I got 60 or 70 essence back, because you know you've got the game time and then the wait time in between. You'd only be getting a little bit more than what you actually put into that revelry essence. I think I found the best way to actually farm for it was actually going the Verdant Forest, because if you managed to get a good team that got to the bosses and you killed all 5 bosses, you'd get quite a lot of that essence from the chests at the end. Plus, you'd get your legendary drop as well. So I think the only thing that I would improve is either drop the cost for the gift boxes, or, you know, triple the amount of stuff that you get for the essence, because, or even actually, no, give you more stuff in those reward boxes. So rather than just reward you with blues, if you got blues and you got planetary materials and you got maybe a 50-50 chance of an enhancement core, because again, we're all enhancement core poor, it should be something that they should have kind of leaned into a little bit more, give you more in those gift boxes than just the one item.
Agreed. But I think if you do too much of that, right? You make it too low, or you give too many rewards back, it kind of takes away from the economy. I do think they should get rid of blues. 100%. Get rid of damn blues. They should not be in those boxes, right? But I don't think that they should really change the prices or the rewards too much, meaning how much essence you get back. That's what I meant about rewards, not, you know,
would you not, blues. Do you not think that just getting a blue and a couple of tokens was a bit of a slap in the face? You'd worked all that time.
That's what I'm saying. No, get rid of 20 minutes in the 100%. Forest. I agree.
You take out all those 5 bosses, you'd probably get about 75 essence from that chest at the end. You go back to Eva, mm-hmm. give her that, and you get one blue, and you're like, really? I've worked all this much to get one blue from you, woman. And then they had that glitch with the fact that if you did it across multiple characters, say you were jumping from character to character and knocking out all the bounties, and every now and then you'd go to and buy a package, you wouldn't have that much of a chance to get the wings and the horns. You'd have to just focus on unboxing, basically, on one character to get those items to drop easier, because you'd get more and more of a chance. I think that was a bit of a misstep on their part as well. Those items should have been something maybe you get from the chest if you've defeated all five bosses. It should be a chance at getting something else from there.
Either that or just let you buy them flat out. Right, yeah. Like the Iron Banner. Just let you buy it, you know?
I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks about Borderlands. I mean, you talk about Borderlands, don't you, Respawn? You know, the loot explosion and the amount of loot that you do get, and they flood the player with so much loot that it's unbelievable. And I believe that Destiny has slowly been doing that, because I've been finding I'm getting a lot more enhancement cores very sneakily. That, you know, there's a lot more dropping from when I'm dismantling stuff, or I'm getting more of those scrapper bounties to drop. And when I'm turning in tokens.
Well, I guess that's your good luck. I have yet to receive that good fortune. I would like some good fortune when it comes to enhancement. But to be fair, if I got good enhancement core fortune, I might lose my exotic luck. So I think in the end, I like the fact that I get all the exotics and no enhancement cores.
So, you don't need good enhancement core luck if you could be good enhancement core glitch lucky. And then you never think about enhancement cores again, and then life is good.
Yeah, I didn't
know. And that being said, I'm not sure I've spent like a single one that I got from that. I'm just sort of hoarding them, like looking around like, my precious, my enhancement cores, I must hold you. No, watch, next season they'll like get rid of them completely, so I will have hoarded them for nothing. But I'm sitting here going, these are mine. I have to save them for the right moment. It's like a precious gem. You have to sit on it and polish it up, going, the moment will come where this will be perfect. And then
you need to use them.
I will wait until long, the time will pass.
And a good blast furnace. That's what you need to do, bro.
Yeah. Well, now that the revelry is over, I can go back to the... Because I have a decent kindled orchid, but I have a terrible blast furnace. I keep getting things out of the Black Armory with absolutely opposite perks on them. And I don't know why. Like, the first weapon I get always has opposite perks. I want you to jump in the air and crouch at the same time. No, I can't do that. I need you to aim down sight, but also hit fire. Nope, sorry, can't do that either. And the grind is real.
Yeah, it is very real. But hold on, listen to this, right? I'm pretty sure I ranted to you guys, or somebody. I've ranted to somebody about this, right? So you know the sword that you get from the forges, right? Everybody was looking at that god, you know, role, because it can do so much damage, even when you don't have ammo,
yeah.
Right? Here's what I got. My very first forge sword, right? Where is it at? Is this it? Give me a second. I got to find it first. I think this is it. Give me one second. Let me just look through these other two. Okay. Well, one of these is it, right? So here we go. This sword dropped with, I had the surrounded. It had Assassin's Blade. And it has Enduring Guard and Burst Guard with Enduring Blade and Tempered Edge, right? Anybody who's gotten, myself included, the actual exotic roll sword, I have on this regular legendary the exact god roll on the sword, right? I didn't know that could happen. So I was running around with this god roll sword, not realizing that it was the god roll until I got my sword to drop, and I look at it, I'm like, wait a minute. These are the exact same perks. Only difference is I have the choice between Burst Guard or Enduring Guard. And what that does is it gives me a lot more ammo without any sacrifices. So in essence, my legendary non-exotic role legendary sword is actually slightly better than the exotic role. I'm like, what?
Curated role, you mean?
Curated, thank you.
But so what are the guards on it again?
The guards are Enduring Guard and Burst Guard.
Okay, so Balance Guard is the one that you get on the curated roll.
Yes, but if you look at I have the curated roll. I have it here with me, but it's not as good because the Enduring Guard gives me much more efficiency than the balanced one.
And if you can get the Stronghold Gauntlets drop on a Titan, when you block, it doesn't use any of that ammo as well, which is the only thing I can think to use those dumb things for.
Yeah.
No, this sword, I'm going to tell you, this sword with the Surrounded, and you have the Surrounded mod on there like I do, it does ridiculous amounts of damage. I'm not even kidding you. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not just saying, hey, this is cool and I have it, yada, yada. The sword is actually viable in this game. You can use it without feeling like you're sacrificing something for it.
We slightly digressed. So, anything else with the Revelry? Would you change anything? Did you? You know, I enjoyed it, and I think the 3 weeks, I'm going to miss it now, you know, with the unlimited grenades or the unlimited shields that we put up. And, skip grenades as well. Unlimited skip grenades for your hunter. That was fantastic.
I only get one grenade like a pleb. Daggone it.
I did enjoy the fact that the Revelry gave you a chance to level up your character, whereas I'd left my Warlock behind for a couple of weeks, and I was able to do all of bounties 1 week because it gave me all 5 pieces of armor, and then the next week I could do the same again, and it would boost those same pieces of armor, and then for the third week I could do the bounties again, and it would boost me up to 700. You know, I was that far behind. And that was perfect because all I needed was armor. And I was able to do the specific bounties and then pop each one when I needed to then get to the next point in leveling up. So that was great. I think it was a good idea. You know, I didn't have to wait on RNG. It was, there it is. That's what I needed to do. And I was able to do it. And I think if you were able to get on for those 3 weeks and level up your character, you've now got 4 weeks to then do what you want to do to prepare for the next season. And I think that was a good thing.
And then light level goes up again. Yay!
And I think it will be missed, in all honesty. I think people will miss it. I'll miss it.
I'll miss it. Yeah, I will. I do already.
But you saying that you only played it for the gun. How can you miss it?
Because, you know, when you're getting the gun, it's fun. No, I think that's the gun too.
Like a proper player, he is now going to delete that gun and then never touch it again because now that the event's over, just like the horns and the wings, he can never use that gun again.
And sorry. I think they...
I could be wrong, but I thought I heard you use the word proper and me in the same sentence, and I don't think that's entirely accurate.
I think they got half of it right with the Verdant Forest. I think with the Christmas event, I think with the Haunted Forest.
Oh, no.
It was the Haunted Forest, wasn't it? The Halloween event, where it was quite a short period of time that you could go into it, and people were saying, no, we want more, we want longer, we want to have a kind of horde mode. This was a proper horde mode, you know, you could just go on for wave after wave after wave after wave.
Yeah, but you had to do it within the timing. I want the horde mode where the bot, where your enemies, not just can you defeat these enemies in the time that's given. No, the horde mode that I want, and I'm pretty sure I speak for a lot of people, is not racing a time limit, but racing the increasingly difficult and increasingly numerous enemies that are coming at you.
And I've heard that from a lot of people saying that they'd want the, you know, the increase in power for the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good thing. And numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they did kind of half get it right. It was an unlimited kind of horde mode that you could do. A lot of people were saying with each branch, once you've got to the next part of the branch, it then increased the difficulty only by like 10 light up to possibly 700. So from, I think you could go in the minimum, I think it was 200. If it then increased every branch that you completed up by 10 light, and then you could then possibly get up to 750 to really push yourself, you know, against that, even maybe 800. Cause some people go in like minus 100 in their nightfalls when they first come out. So it could possibly push some of the top tier players. But I think this was more geared towards the casual player that just wanted to go in and play with randoms. It worked out really well with randoms because even if they weren't very good or there was no communication, you could still
doesn't
get
matter.
Through to about
Grenade City.
Yeah, but you could still get through to maybe 15 to 20 ways and have a good amount of time to defeat those five bosses. And it was very rare that I didn't defeat the five bosses. Sometimes it was ridiculous. We'd do like 15 waves and the two guys would just suddenly die when we got to the bosses, and you'd be like, hang on a minute, this is the easiest part of it. It's, you know, but again, you also got that incentive of doing the two boss kills and got an enhancement core, and that was for each character each day. So that was another thing that they've put in there to get the enhancement cores. So I think they've listened that way. But I agree with you. Maybe another path where you had this version of it, you had the firewalled version of it, and maybe you had the increased difficulty version for next time. And what they could do is, as you progress further and further into that forest, you get higher and higher rewards, till maybe you get exotics, like exotic sparrows, exotic ships, or even exotic weapons or exotic drops. You know, if you're going beyond 700, then as you go up to 800, like, and you defeat those bosses at the end, you should be rewarded with, you know, a plethora of rewards. You know, there should be enhancement cores. It should just be a loot explosion, a bit like they had now, but more, and you're guaranteed kind of an exotic engram at the end of it. I think you'd find a lot more people would have played it and gone for that exotic drop, because let's face it, even if you did one run per day for those, you know, 3 weeks, that's an exotic every single day, and that would be enough to kind
of... Assuming you make it that far, right?
Yeah. But I think you'd find that there'd be a lot more LFG people going, like, we want to get this done. We want to get far more exotic engrams. And if it was a guaranteed place to get an exotic engram, that, again, is balanced to, you know, as a knockout system, it would have made a bit more encouraging gameplay.
Right. I think, though, if you're going to do something like that, you need to remove... This is going to sound funny, don't laugh at me, but you need to remove exotic protection from that mode. I know, exotic protection doesn't exist, right? Yeah, no, I got you. But because if you didn't, you'd have all the exotics way too quick, you know? And that wouldn't... For that person that's got all the exotics that fast, you know, then what? You go grind for legendaries and whatnot? I mean, yeah, you can. But for a lot of people that I talk to, their main focus is exotics. You know, they're looking for this exotic or that exotic, or they're trying to make a build with this exotic. You know, whatever. You know, their main focus is exotics. So, I mean, if you make it too easy to get exotics, then, you know, it might crash the game economy, you know?
No, but I think what I enjoyed about Destiny 1 with the exotics towards the end was the glass needles, where you could re-roll the exotics that you got, and you could then re-roll them until you got to the perk set that you actually wanted on those armor pieces.
Yeah,
and nice. I think that's the problem with Destiny 2, is there's not enough exotics dropping. And when you do get an exotic, it is, some of them are slightly different. You know, I've got three pairs of the same gauntlets, the Syntheseps, and they've all got different perks on them and different roles, and I use them in different areas. And I think that's the thing with Destiny 2. You need to have more exotics dropping, because I've got one Mask of the Quiet Man or whatever it is. You know, the one.
Yeah, Mask of the Quiet One.
Mask of the Quiet One. And I want to see if I can get a better roll on it. You know, I don't want the roll that it's got. I think it's got enhanced heavy listing, and I don't want that one though. You want something that's going to enhance my gameplay for that mask. And I've only ever had one drop, and the one that's in the collections is completely different. I think it's got bow targeting on, and I don't want to pull that out. So I'm stuck with the one that I've got. And
you
if
don't
I'm
want
playing
bow
constantly,
targeting?
I'm...
What no. kind of person are you, man?
Not on the Mask of the Quiet One. For me, anyway, for my gameplay. But that's what I mean. If there were more exotic drops in the world with different roles on them, I think that would be more exciting. And I think having the Verdant Forest dropping exotics. I didn't see one exotic drop from those chests at the end. Maybe other people did, but I didn't.
Same. I did not either.
No, I didn't either.
I think that would have been a way of getting people to play more, you know, and be in that area. And yeah, you could have farmed exotic engrams, but you, like you were saying, if you turn off the protection and have a chance of getting the same exotic over and over again, but different roles, might be interesting to some players because they might want to just get a specific item, but a different role on it. Parody, you were going to say something before I cut you off earlier.
Yeah, but he's not important. It's fine. Keep going.
Who knows what I was going to say earlier. Yeah, but I totally agree. Just the exotics. You know, I've got an Actium War Rig that I would love to get a better role. I have one with auto rifle reserves, but I'd love one with more auto rifle perks, or even better, two auto rifle perks. You know, I've got some exotics that I would love to get actual, you know, better rolls on them. You know, and I never want to see fastball again. I know how far my grenades throw. I don't need to throw them farther or faster or better. I keep getting like fastball on like the syntheseps and like anything involving melees. I'm like, I don't want this, but I can't ever get, you know, like it's, I'll get the roll that's in the collection and I'll never see another roll of it. I'll just never see that exotic drop again. I keep getting weapon drops over and over and over again, but I can't seem to get armor drops. Once I have that armor piece unlocked, like I just never see that armor piece again. It's gone. I never see it. I would love the glass needle to come back so I could at least roll the dice and see what I could get on those armor pieces. You know, if I'm trying to build an armor set or just use something that's a little more useful, but never going to happen apparently.
Never say never, except to say never.
Yeah, one day. One thing that did just crack me up about the forest is just, you know, we ran to the end of the forest and then ran back from the end of the forest. And I miss Chad. I miss being chased by a giant knight because, I think that's what I was going to say earlier, is you could run the forest over and over again, but it got a little bit harder, but there was sort of no point to it. You got to the certain point where you could get the five bosses. It's like, why? I know some people were doing hundreds and hundreds of runs through it, but what's the point other than just for the sake of doing it? You know, your little emblem wasn't counting the runs you were getting through anyway, so it's not even like you could put that on and say, hey, I got 800 runs through this forest. It just showed zero. Mine still shows zero. I don't know.
There's a bug with that apparently.
Yeah, right. But that's gonna get fixed, remember?
Right, but even then though, it's like, so okay, so you've got the, you know, the top run on that. So what? You know, the event's over. We're never gonna see it again. Or if we do see it again, it'll be another haunted forest, or it'll be the snowy forest, or it'll be some version of this event. Again, you know, I just wanna see them use, you know, I would love to see something, you know, like we talked about, some sort of recurring thing every month, every 6 weeks, you know, put on a Dreaming City curse like cycle. I wanna see this content come back. Especially when it's like, you know, they've gotten to the end of an event and they're tired. They want to go on vacation. They've been working really hard. Hey, give us this, you know, in these lulls where maybe you don't have anything planned, or you have a big drop coming in a couple of weeks and you don't want to work on things in between, something to sort of tie the community over, you know, put one of these revelry type events out. Say, hey, we're bringing this forest back as whatever, even call it the Verdant Forest again, you know, who cares what season it is. Throw it out there. Let us replay that content. You know, give us a week where we have even pick a good mood. This week, you know, this event, you get just the good mood grenades. The next one, you'll get just melees. The next one, you'll get just the class abilities. You know, you've got this content built and made. Deploy it. Let us play with it. Let us enjoy it. You know, put that, you know, add a crucible match into the rotating crucible list.
Don't put it on the back burner and right. Forget it type stuff, right? Hey, you got it. It works.
Right,
you
yeah. Code in. Yeah. So I mean, we already have Mayhem Crucible. Give me Mayhem Grenade Crucible. Give me Mayhem Melee. Give me No Gun Melee Only Crucible.
Parody. Don't forget your plug. Crucible Labs.
There are no Crucible Labs. The Crucible Labs are dead. We never knew about the Crucible Labs. We don't speak about the Crucible Labs. They're in the labs with the Niobe folks, and we've lost the key to it. We had a way to get in. We misplaced a piece of it. Maybe that's what happened. It's in the Niobe labs and they forgot a piece of the puzzle. And now they're like, you know what? We have this combination lock. We've got four of the five numbers and the labs are on the other side. We can never get to them again.
For anybody that's new to the game, Parody, could you just explain Crucible Labs?
Crucible Labs, for those of us old folks looking back, is where Bungie said, we're going to give you this playlist where we're going to test things out. And I think it ran maybe two or three times where they made, you know, they made little tweaks. It wasn't anything, you know, huge and game changing. You know, we're going to make some tweaks here and there. Again, it was a sandbox to play in where they could test out game changes, test out weapon changes before they roll them out into Crucible or the game as a whole. And we haven't seen it in, I don't remember how many weeks. I should go look it up so I have the number in front of me.
Months.
Months. I mean, it's been months. It's been, I don't even remember now, 2018, 2014, it feels like. So again, you know, Bungie built in this way for them to test, parts of the game. And, you know, so again, you wouldn't have necessarily a let's do a revelry type event where we make a change in the game and it affects the entire game. But we haven't seen Crucible Labs.
Right. Two words for you. Player-based QoS. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, so again, we had the labs as a way to test these changes, and it's gone MIA. Yeah, 12 months ago is an article from Game Rant talking about the Crucible Labs. 12 months ago, we had the Crucible Labs and basically haven't seen them since. So, don't know where they went, don't know if they're coming back, but again, you know, there's a way to test this content that we now no longer have for whatever reason.
As an example, one of the game modes that you could have in Crucible Labs was they had the rocket launchers that you could pick up, and it was just unlimited rocket launchers, wasn't it? That you could just...
Right.
Like the fallen ones that you get from the tanks dropping. So yeah, they had all these different spawn points around the map. You'd spawn with a rocket, wouldn't you? And once you depleted all 10 rockets, that was it, you're out. But it was a game mode that they thought that they could introduce just for Crucible Labs for a bit of fun. And it didn't really go anywhere apart from just there, and that was it.
Which is a shame.
It is. So, have we done and dusted the revelry? Is there anything that you want to add to it? So. Parody?
I think we've reveled as much as we can possibly revel. Although I did see something interesting pop up in my inbox this week. Did you guys get a survey from Bungie by any chance?
No,
I did not.
Check. Oh, I know. I do not remember. I remember signing up in some way, saying, "Hey, send me a survey." You know, Destiny in the game. So, I got this little, you know, here, take our 1 minute survey this week, and it just asked a couple of questions. You know, how would you rate your Destiny 2 experience in the past week? Do you have any comments about your answer above? How likely are you to recommend Destiny 2 to a friend or colleague? And how likely are you going to play the next season of Destiny 2? 4 quick questions, over and done with. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was interesting. You know, now that the event's over again. I'm hoping people who get the survey use this as another way for them to get some information, again, that aren't the YouTubers, that aren't the folks screaming the loudest, yelling in the forums, because I don't go to the forums. I don't read the Reddit, except for periodically looking for any, you know, game-breaking bugs or, hey, why does this not work? So hopefully they use this as a way to gather some more information from folks. So I just thought that was interesting. It popped up this week after the Revelry event going, hey, guys, what did you think of that Revelry event? Did you enjoy the last week? Did you hate it? Tell us how to make it better. So, again, I appreciate they're out there, you know, when they say they are listening, you know, they're taking some other routes to do that that aren't just social media, that aren't just, you know, go to the forum and scream the loudest and get all the upvotes.
My cries fall upon deaf ears.
So, news and information, as I think Parody did mention earlier. Double Infamy in Gambit and Gambit Prime starts on Tuesday the 6th of May, and it lasts for the whole week. It'll probably be Triple Infamy by the weekend, but they haven't actually said that yet. But we definitely know it's going to be Double Infamy. So anybody that's trying to grind towards their 21% delirium, here's your chance. Remember, if you can grab as many bounties as you can and turn them in for that week, you'll get double the Infamy points for that as well. We have a couple of information and news parts from Reddit and on the forums. So Cosmo mentions Xur not having random rolls is still being investigated with no ETA on the fix. They've had feedback about the quality of life improvements to Escalation Protocol, Blindwell, and Forges, and the Reckoning. They've all been forwarded to the team. Forges not giving... Apparently,
Escalation Forges, Protocol.
I know. Apparently, Forges are not giving clan XP, and this has been brought up with the team. Feedback to add Trials weapons to the comp loot pool has been forwarded to the team, and those links I'll link in the show notes for us. DMG also goes on to say Faction Catalyst will become available in the summer and they'll release more details on the sources closer to the date. I'll link the forum post for that. But if you're new to Destiny and missed out on the Faction Catalyst, these were 3 different catalysts for the different factions that you could get. So you had Future War Cult, Dead Orbit, and New Monarchy.
And two of those don't exist, by the way.
Future War Cult had the Sunshot Hand Cannon Catalyst, and that increased range and stability. Graviton Lance was with Dead Orbit, and that was better target acquisition, aim assist, and range. And the Sweet Business, which was with New Monarchy, gave you a greatly reduction in flinch. So to get these, yeah, I think it was back last year, we had 3 faction rallies spaced over like a couple of months, in between. A bit like Iron Banner, it would pop up 1 week, then you'd have 3 weeks off, and then there'd be another one. But there was only ever three that turned up, and you had to turn in 50 packages to get the catalyst from the faction. But you could only pledge allegiance to one faction across all your characters per rally. And seeing as we only had three rallies, you had to do it in that specific week. Otherwise, you missed out because you could only pledge once. So to grind it out and get the objective tokens, you had to get 20 tokens per package, which basically totaled 1,000 tokens to get the 50 packages to unlock. So it was quite difficult to get them. And if you managed to get all three of them in the three different rallies, then you are a god, basically, because you really grinded it out to get those tokens. It was hard because every time there was a faction rally, they'd change slightly how you could get the tokens. There was several cheeses that came up with the first faction rally where you could just farm a lost sector and blow up boxes. So they patched that for the next time. And then another cheese came up for the next one and they patched that. So by the time you got to the third faction rally, it was hard to get as many tokens as you could. But jumping from character to character and doing daily bounties did help. So that's how you had to get them in the past. I'm guessing that they're just going to be adding them to the loot pool, and maybe you'll have to go and do strikes and things. Or maybe they're going to bring back faction rallies. We don't know yet, but it's something that they're going to detail closer to the date in the summer.
I miss my renown. I miss the cries of my renown whenever I died.
That was it. That was it. The third faction rally, wasn't it?
You had to build up your renown by killing different things.
Yeah. And then you got a bonus for killing more stuff.
Yeah. So the health of renown works basically as you would kill things. I think it was, you know, kill yellow bar enemies, do patrol missions, public events, heroic public events. You would get these renown stacks. And then as you got more renown, basically you were weakened. Your damage output was weakened. You took more incoming damage. I think your health regen was reduced. Like, it would basically nerf you. It was sort of like running an Iron Burden. The more you got, you went. But then as soon as you died, your renown stack got reset. So you sort of had to build it back up again because you would get more tokens or a greater reward the higher your renown went. So, and again, faction rally is another thing that we've lost and fell off the world, which they said at the time, you know, we'll add these three Sunshot, Graviton Lance, and Sweet Business Catalyst to the loot pool in the game. And now here we are a year or so later getting those added to the game finally. So hopefully they'll just be something we can do in the game, though. Faction rallies, it would be nice for them to come back. I still have full armor sets for all three factions sitting in my vault because I keep thinking maybe they'll come back at some point. And I have all three of these catalysts because I grinded all three of those weeks going, okay, I'm going to get this done. And it was, like you said, it was a grind to get these done in the week you had. And if you missed a week or if you were off or you were on vacation, tough. There was no getting them back again until now, hopefully.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, first of all, Space Cop for life. If you have any, you know, thing else to say about that, you're 100%.
Again, you're going to have to explain that to the new players that are coming in. Space Goths, please explain.
Space Goth? What? No. I am not explaining Space Goth.
No. Nobody knows who that strange man is tapping at his keyboard over there by Zer in the corner that's flirting with Amanda Holiday. No one knows who that is. Okay. No one's ever talked to them.
So the Space Goth is one of the factions, right? It's not Future War Cult because they suck. It's not New Monarchy because they also suck. So therefore, what's left? That's right. The Space Goths, right? So, there's this whole thing that I should probably say about them, honestly. But they need no introduction, right? They're just the Space Goths. They have the coolest armor. They have the best shaders. They have arguably some of the best weapons in the game.
Yeah, they did have some of the best weapons.
Yeah.
They are the mopiest. They have the least colorful shaders.
So while these intelligent individuals were dedicating their entire fire team to one of these factions per faction rally, no. Not this guy. Right here, you know what? Space Golf. Every faction rally. Did I need to? No. Would it have been smart for me to go get the other catalyst? Oh, yeah. But on principle, you never pick anyone but the Space Goth since Destiny changed the way that they did things. Because back in the day, you could pick one per character, right? Which was fine, right? My Warlock always went with the Fruity Tooties. My freaking Titan always went with the losers. And my Hunter always went with the Space Goths, right? Each one of my guys could get what they need. But when they started doing the whole, once you pick one, everybody on your fire team is that faction. No, I didn't like that. Therefore, Space Goths, always and forever. Booyah, let it ride.
And I'm one out. Thing, as much as I complain about the Titan armor in this game, and the new Monarchy faction, I never really had any great love for. But you could be a Space Lannister. And that armor set for the Titan, you were covered in lions, you were a Space Lannister. It's one of the few armor sets, like the Samurai Iron Banner gear for the Titan, that I felt like actually didn't look completely ridiculous and actually felt good to wear and fun to wear. So I would love to see some faction rallies come back, because apparently that's when we get all the good armor for things. And you could be a Mopey Space Goth, or you could have gotten all three catalysts like Night Demon and I.
So moving on to tips and tricks.
Back. We're not Mopey, all right? We're not Mopey! Shut up!
Your friend or the lady that nobody goes to talk to, and the guy with the tentacly face every couple weeks. You're pretty Mopey.
We have no association with the tentacle face guy.
He's cutting all this out anyway.
Oh my god, I hate you.
So, tips and tricks. We've got several videos and tricks for you to go over. We have a video by Jarv, who details a secret Nightfall emblem. There's been quite a few other videos on this, but I picked Jarv because it's pretty straightforward and plain English. And it's called After the Nightfall. And it seems like you have to do every Nightfall in a specific speed run. And he details all the information that you need to get that emblem. And it's quite an extremely rare emblem. I think there was like 0.06% of the player base has actually got it.
I think they said five people had it. Like five total people. Yeah, everything I saw said they had five people that had it, and the one of the folks was a YouTuber, and Bungie sort of swore him to secrecy on how he got it.
So yeah, it was added during Forsaken, but people have only just started finding out about it. So it looks like it speedruns, and each Nightfall is different with the amount of time you have to do. And I think they've slowly kind of worked out over time what you need to do in each Nightfall. So you can roughly do four Nightfalls a week. You've got the three that you can basically do, you know, with your fire team. And then you've got the guided games one that two of you can do and take somebody through. So you have a chance to do four a week. So check that video out. Also, this is one for you, Respawn. Fallout Plays has done a video on the best way to get the 100K voices, like a farming method and a couple of the myths.
I saw the video. Yeah,
you've seen the video. It's a really good video, isn't it? And I think it's pretty straightforward. It's a bit like with the Revelry event. Rather than kind of splashing your tokens out every time you get to that room at the end of Riven, save all your tokens and just use it on the one character, basically. But he goes over strats and some of the myths that have gone along with standing on top of the box and blowing yourself up kind of thing in the final room.
And you know, that's important because as soon as he said it is a flat 30 or 10% chance, I think he said, yeah, a flat 10% chance. No matter what you do, you have a 10% chance. And once I knew that it was a 10% chance from any chest and not this nonsense about, oh, it's guaranteed to spawn in two, I'm not going to lie. I was one of those idiots that actually thought it spawns in two no matter what, right? You just got to be lucky enough to get one of the two.
I think it's been one of them things that's just kind of been passed through the community, and slowly as it's gone on, it's got more and more believable, and people have just kind of rolled with it and then passed that piece of information on to the next person, and it's become gospel over time. So
yeah. So now you got a bunch of people thinking that, you know, oh, it spawns in two guaranteed. Well, I did these two last time. I'm going to do a different two this time or whatever, right? Turns out, nope, flat 10% chance, right? So each character can do it once a week. That gives you a total of 30%. Not a 30% chance in one go, mind you, two different statistics, but you have 10% three times per week to try to get this guy. So, yeah, no, once I saw that, I was really happy about it. But still, nothing curbs my anger like this one incident. Here's my plug, right? The one incident when I did the raid.
And you I know, we've heard this three times in three different podcasts.
I know.
That you've got the same grenade launcher.
Yep.
Yeah.
Freaking exotic grenade launcher, and it was a prospector instead of the one that I was looking for. Yep. Yep.
I think I'm still salty.
I still haven't been back to the raid because of that to this day.
We'll have to go because I haven't been yet, so it'd be interesting. You can teach me the ways.
Yeah, no, it's super.
You and I will go in. We'll get it to drop on thinking. Our first run through and party. Say, I don't know what you guys are struggling with. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't even begin to even attempt to describe how tilted I would be if that happened.
Yeah.
Because I've seen other randoms get it, and it tilts me. But if you guys go in, and either and one of you...
pick a time. We will live stream it, because I want to see Respawn melt. We're going to have to get you a camera, because I need to see you melt down in real life. Now, of course, I say that. I have the world's worst RNG, so what's ever going to happen? But Night Demon will get it. And once Night Demon will get it, then it'll open the door for me to get it some weeks down the road.
You're right, because I've played with it. Him and Andy are notorious for going with me and getting it that I've been farming for. Freaking notorious, man.
So we also have, going along with our service revolver focus, because of the Lunas Howl and the Not Forgotten getting nerfed. Or changed, sorry. In the next couple of, in the Season of Opulence, people are trying to farm for the service revolver. So Cammy Cakes has done a video on the best way to farm the Vanguard tokens, and it's with the Lake of Shadow Strike, and he completes it with his fire team about 5 minutes, very, very quickly. But then he breaks down about how he also uses a ghost with the Vanguard scanner to get more tokens to drop at the end. He then, once he's got enough boons that he's popped in the strike, he then takes those boons unopened and takes them into a Nightfall, again, with the ghost attached and the emblem that you for the specific strike that he's going into for the Nightfall. Because if you put on the Nightfall emblem, you get an enhanced chance of more tokens to drop. So once he's in that Nightfall with the emblem and the ghost on, you have a chance of getting up to about 10 tokens per package that you open. So he details all the information you need for that. He also has a video for vendor weapons for god rolls, or in his opinion, god rolls. But watching it, they are pretty much everything that people are seeking. Or he goes into a good explanation of why you'd want that specific roll on that specific weapon. And he goes over all the vendor weapons that you'd be looking for. So he goes to Zavala, Shax, Ada-1, even the Gunsmith, and just random well drops that you can get. And he'll go over the roles that you should be looking out for. So that's another Cammy Cakes video. Then moving into what you could possibly want to do for the last 4 weeks of the season is maybe go into competitive and see if you can get your Recluse or grind your 2100 to possibly get your Lunas before it's changed. There's a couple of guides that I've found that have been quite useful for me, and that even in the last week in the Revelry, of kind of getting that mindset of how to engage into a gunfight and what I should be doing as a solo player if I'm not communicating with my team but trying to work with my team. And we have a True Vanguard video, and his is top tips for winning 1v1s. And I think I said earlier in the show, you know, watched him go against the guy with Antaeus Wards and the Lord of Wolves shotgun. You can improve your gameplay even in the next game by just kind of taking stock of what you've done in that previous game and how you've engaged with that player. If you're playing against the same people in that instance, you know, learn from how they've approached you and how the team is working, and see if you can adapt to that. It goes into grenade placement. So if you wanted to throw a grenade at one side of an object to get the player to move out to the other side and be ready with your weapon on that other side, because 9 times out of 10, they will push onto the other side because they won't go in where the grenades exploded. Just simple, basic things that you know, but, you know, just to keep refreshing yourself and watch it over and over again. He goes into how to tackle people with the Erentel fusion rifle and, you know, being at a certain distance to engage them. Just know the players that you're going up against and try and remember who who's on that team and what they're what they're running.
So being sweaty. I got you.
Not really being sweaty, but just trying to remember who you're playing against. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out because you are going against a full 6-stack or 4-stack and they're just constantly aping you. And sometimes it's too much. You just can't take it all in. But when it's on an even playing field, and sometimes it is, and you know you can roughly gauge those players that you're playing against, it's quite helpful to kind of try and remember, oh, that player's doing that. Like in a couple of the comp games this week, they're just constantly chucking out, you know, skip grenades. So make sure that I've got my Titan on with suppressor grenades. I'm throwing suppressors at them and then engaging them with the proper gunfight. It's little things like that. So True Vanguard's got a video that is really worth watching. We also then have a video by Fallout Plays, and he has a guide on how to reach Fabled in comp. Admittedly, it was put out in January, but some of the stuff that's in that video is still relevant now. So there's also another video by Deadside, and he's got another guide on how to win in comp. So with watching those two videos, it was quite interesting that some of the stuff overlapped with what they were saying, but Deadside's one was put out in March, so it's quite a more recent one.
What Night Demon's trying to say is, be like the, you know, the hunter friend he made, who was like, I'm going to use my sweet business. Night Demon was like, I'm going to use my sweet business. What a good idea. Now we're going to make sweet business together. See what people are doing. Try something new out. You may find something you like and you have success with.
I see what he did there. Did you see what he did there? I see what he did there.
Well, no, I mean, both the guys, they go over, you know, how to play with teammates, your loadouts, your subclasses, using supers wisely, you know, the maps and the game types. And again, communication. If you're not being able to communicate with your team, if you're playing solo, make sure that you're kind of trying to communicate with your team by how you're playing and being with them, not too close, but not too far away, especially in the Revelry this last week, you know, with the grenades that have been chucked out. I mean, I know it's going to change in this next couple of weeks, but you've got 4 weeks to the end of the season. You still do have a good chance to get those pinnacle weapons. And the last video, again, is by Jarve. He's put the best steps to prepare for next season. And with that, it's things like stop infusing things now. You know, gather materials, do enhancement core activities on each character each day or per week. So to build those up, farm on the Tangled Shore for the and Dreaming City for Etherical Spiral, is it? Is it Etheric Spiral? And the Baryon Bows, because they can't be bought by the can't be purchased from the Spider. Get your 2 enhancement cores per day from Spider. Stack your ghost fragments so you're ready to go. You've got 20 ghost fragments ready to go in the next season to then purchase the spider bounties in that first week. Edge your exotics and your pinnacle weapon quests to like the last step or near enough completion so that when the new season does come, you can push them over and then you'll be able to pick those up and they will be higher light for you to then progress further. Stack your Petra bounties and your dark fragments. So make sure that you've kind of done 7 of the Petra bounties and leave it at that kind of thing. And when the new season rocks in, turn those bounties in. You only need to do 1 that day, and then you've done that bounty kind of thing. And stack your dark fragments so that you could go off and do the challenges in the Dreaming City. It's little things like that. And Jarve goes over a lot more things in his video, but I thought it was quite useful for the next 4 weeks if you're not struggling for things to do, but you want to do extra things while you're trying to complete other triumphs, something else to think about. Our weapon spotlight of the week is by Destiny Fun Police, and he's got a Godroll submachine gun video on the Antiope D. And now this is an old year one weapon, but it's been brought back in the last couple of months, I guess, with the gunsmith. You can actually get random rolls on it. And on his weapon, he has Kill Clip, Zen Moment, Light Mag, the SC Hollow for the lens, and he's got a ranged masterwork, and he compares it against the year one version, and it's kind of night and day with the amount of range that he's got on it, and it's like a laser beam in the gameplay. It's really fantastic. So that is one to check out. Also, slightly going back to the guides on comp and the videos that for that, there was also a Reddit post that has really helped me in the last couple of weeks by XXChemistXX, and he's built a glory rank calculator. So what you can do is a Google document that you can copy and paste, and then once you put in your glory rank, it will then calculate how many games that you need to then play with the bonuses to get to the different levels. And it also gives you a tally of if you win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, how many games it would then take to progress to get to 2100 and on further. It also gives you how much you get per weekly bonus, because I don't know if you guys kind of knew, or even if the listeners knew, that if you play 3 comp games in a week, you get a bonus on the following reset of X amount of points. So what I've been doing for like the last season is playing like 3 or 4 comp games, maybe winning 2, maybe losing 2 kind of thing, but slowly building up my points, then getting to the next week, and I've been granted an extra couple of 100 points to get further. So at the moment, I'm sitting at 1,550 points, and if I wait for the reset this week, I'll get another 120 points, I think it is. That'll push me up a bit further. I then only need to play, I think, about 3 or 4 games, and I've got 3 wins already. But then if I lose one of those, I'll be reset and have to do more games. But it, keeping a track on this glory rank calculator has really helped kind of keep me going, because it's just showing me, you know, if I do really well in these 3 games, then I've only got like an extra game or an extra week to wait for that weekly reset to get those extra bonus points. So that's something I'll link in the show notes if anybody's interested.
So the friend of the show, the Booker Man, has emailed the show to share some of his views with us. He writes, "I currently have 338 free spaces in my vault, and it has never been a problem for me. Ever. I have masterworked a bunch of armor. Masterwork cores are good for the game's longevity. I don't read the TWAB unless I'm specifically told it's important by somebody. The known issues pop-ups we've been getting are brilliant." Double props. This is from Parody. "I'm really enjoying the issues pop-ups in the game as well, so you don't have to read the TWAB. Anyway, back to the Booker Man. "I observe that there's a reason that the Crucible is flooded with hunters. No, they don't need any more buffs, and I barely even notice the PS exclusives. The armor sets are meh. The early access to Borealis, woo, isn't really something you Xbox guys should really feel like you're missing." So that's his take on things. And a new listener, a Musical Plant, has contacted us via Instagram to share his Service Revolver story. Musical Plant, I'm pretty sure you're not from Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors, but that's all I can see is my brain is this guy being like, "Feed me, Seymour. Feed me Destiny knowledge, Seymour." Anyway, a Musical Plant writes, "Something miraculous and hilarious just happened when I logged into Destiny 2, and I thought I'd share it. I love a good Destiny 2 story. All right, kids, pull up around the campfire. My roommate and close friend of mine who also plays was standing in my doorway as we talked, and I approached Zavala, pulling up the Vanguard menu. My friend threatens me in a tone that suggests he'd be very angry if I pulled a service revolver from one of his engrams."
Oh, no.
Boom. Pulled one on the first shot. My friend goes, "Oh, my gosh." No, he didn't. He said other words. "Oh, my gosh." And slams the door, shut up on leaving the room, and comes back. And I tell him, after laughing my butt off, that the perks are probably bad. So I hover over the gun, and it's rapid hit and rampage. He proceeds to leave the room, slamming the door again. One of the most entertaining moments of my life.
Right.
When we then discuss what mods I wanted on it for PvP. Anyways, I hope you all are doing great. Have a wonderful day. I applaud you, sir. I applaud you. I am that friend. Props to you, sir, on your beautiful service revolver.
So the guy that said hunters don't need buffs, what class was he? Did he say?
No, I'm not telling you what class he is. I know what class he is, but I'm not telling you.
He's Titan.
No, I'm not. I'm not telling
you. I'm going to assume.
Yeah, no, he's a Titan. I'm going to
assume the
he's
one
not, class. Of course he's a freaking Titan. He's
not a Titan.
He's a Titan. He has 338 free spaces in his vault. He doesn't need things. He is a minimalist Destiny player. He has the 5 guns he needs. He is good to go. He's got his masterworked armor.
No, I second his thing that hunters don't need any more buffs.
Yeah, you Titan players are all the same.
I use a hunter, but I'm telling you, that Spectral Blade, even in the Revelry, was unbelievable. They didn't need any extra, you know, grenades or anything. They were just floofing everywhere, killing everything. They need to be taken down a notch. There was nothing I could throw at them. I threw unlimited grenades at them. They even dodged my suppressor grenade. They were that fast.
Even if we don't get any buffs, we damn sure don't need any more freaking nerfs. That's for damn sure.
I just want to give props for both the Booker Man and A Musical Plant for contacting us and letting us know. Because again, I'm happy you guys listen. I see the download numbers. I know someone's downloading it, but I'm really happy you guys are listening and enjoying, so thank you. I love hearing stories. Share with me your stories of your good RNG. I need to get the RNG through osmosis, through the podcast, through email, something. So I really enjoy a good story of Destiny. He needs
to live vicariously through you guys.
Absolutely. I'm like the father that has a son who's amazing at sports, who was like, son, I was never any good at basketball, but you could go on and make me millions of dollars. I'm going to live vicariously through you and push you way too hard. I won't put you guys too hard. I will just revel in your great stories. So props to the Vault Space, props to the Service Revolver stories. Send us your Destiny 2 stories. Send us your Destiny 2 madness. I love a good clip. I love a good story. Let us know what you're doing out there. I'm super happy we got these. I'm sort of beside myself right now. Two emails in one week. It's been a good week.
Woo! That makes what, 3 emails since we started this?
Or if you guys have any views that you want us to discuss on the show, we'll be open to doing that as well. Or if there's something to read on your behalf, we'll be, you know, willing to do that as well. But again, thank you very much for contacting us.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want me and Parody to fight to the death.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you've got a way, you know, you got voice recorder on the iPhone or a recorder on an Android phone, or send us a voice message over Xbox Live, we'll figure out how to get that into the show. Yeah, if you want to tell us a story, tell us a story. We'll include it in here as well. And I think with that, unless you guys have anything else.
No, that's it. That's it from me.
All right. The Brit's out of things to say, and we're out of pages of the document. So thank you for joining us this week. Your Titans are Parody and Night Demon. You're a hunter is no one respawns in real life. You can email the show at twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Hit us up on Facebook by looking up Two Titans and a Hunter and a bunch of gobbledygook after it. You can find the Frozen Clan page at join.frozen.party. That's frozen with a 0. Join us if you enjoy sandwiches. Shout out to Brizzle30 and Nalus's Demand, who sought out our benevolent dictator, who have fully embraced letting it go and have joined the Frozen Clan today. Find your favorite Guardian on Xbox Live. Watch the show on YouTube, listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere fine podcasts are sold. I leave you from dawn to dusk, dancing the outer dance of our people. Say goodbye, Guardians.
Goodbye, Guardians!
Goodbye, Guardians!
Ha ha!
Damn it!
I got it first.
So every time you were reading, you know, we've sent this up to the team, all I could hear is top men are working on this. Who's working on this, Bungie? Top men.